in Galatians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I'd like you also to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 6. And once you've found it, let's stand as we read the Word of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What a great question that Paul asked the Galatians. Now go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I want to speak to you in the next few minutes on this subject. Let's identify our enemy. Let's identify our enemy. Next week I celebrate my 14th year in evangelism. And as you travel for years, as I traveled, you see people that start out pretty good, but then they get sidetracked, start fighting the wrong things. I just kind of want to remind you just a few things today. I don't think you're going to hear anything new. I know you won't, but I want to help you, just remind you who the true enemy is. Father, please, in the next few minutes, grab our hearts, our minds, our attention. May we listen with open hearts. May we let Thy Holy Spirit speak to us as You so badly want to. Please speak to the ears or to the hearts of Thy people, Holy Spirit, as I speak to their ears in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In any conflict that you engage in, it is always very important that you identify who the true opponent or enemy is. In sports, it's important that you identify who you're playing against. It's not, when you play sports, it's very easy to think that the referee is your opponent. Sometimes maybe they are. But it's very easy to get caught up in a game where the referee makes a few bad calls. And it's very easy for you to start fighting the referee instead of playing the people on the other side of the line. It's very easy for you to get upset with the coach that maybe doesn't call your number, like Terrell Owens, crybaby, who always doesn't agree with the coach, the game plan, and it's very easy to get caught up with fighting the coach. But the coach is not the enemy. It's the person on the other side of that line, that's the one you ought to get upset at. It's not the players, other players on the team. You say, but I don't like, they did some dumb moves. Well, I got news for you. If you play sports, you've probably done a few too. And it's so easy that it's in sports to start focusing on the wrong one, and you can fight the referee, you can fight the coach, you can fight other players, but you're not win a game fighting them. You win a game by fighting the opponent. In war, it's important that you identify the enemy. The enemy is not the president of the United States of America. I get a little weary of these liberals who want to fight our president. They ought to thank God we have a man as a president. They ought to be thankful we got somebody that has some backbone that's not worried what everybody else says, not worried about the polls, and says this is what we're going to go do, and we do it. So I don't agree with him. Well, he's not the opponent. He's not the one that had jets flying to our Twin Towers in New York City. He's not the one that had a jet fly into our Pentagon and kill people inside the Pentagon. The enemy is the Al-Qaeda network and the terrorists that hate America. That's the enemy. And too many times we get caught up and fight, well, I don't agree with maybe how he's doing so. He's not the enemy. What you ought to be mad at is you ought to get mad and fired mad about the terrorist who could care less about America, who could care less about freedom, who could care less about this book right here and about our Savior. And all they want is anybody that's against their lifestyle to be dead. Hey, that's your enemy in life. The enemy is not President Bush. The enemy is not some general who maybe orders something. The enemy is not Rumsfeld who directs our troops. He's not the enemy. The enemy are those who are trying to kill us. If you get wrapped up in fighting those who are not your opponent, you could very likely lose a game of war. But if anything, you'll lose lives. If you fight the wrong opponent. The Apostle Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But he says, but against principalities, against powers. He says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He writes to the Ephesians, he says, now Ephesians, he says, we're not fighting each other. He says, our enemy is sin. Our enemy is the forces that pushes the sin in the world. Our enemy is the homosexual crowd. The enemy is the sin of pornography. The enemy is alcoholism. The enemy is drugs. The enemy is those who would like to, who could care less about Christianity and preach the wrong doctrine. He says, hey, that's the enemy. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the principalities, the powers of sins that run through this world and destroy those that take us away from this book. He says, that's the true enemy that you ought to focus on. As he writes to the Galatians, he says to them, he says, Galatians, he says, as he writes to them, the Galatians were fighting a problem, and that was people were trying to sow a different doctrine of salvation, and he was trying to tell them, listen, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And as he writes to them, he says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He says, I've told you that the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. I told you that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sins, and because Jesus died to pay for sins, He was God, and He came, left heaven to come down to this world. He's the only way you can get to heaven. He says, now I tell you the truth, and you get upset at me because I'm offending somebody. He says, you're not ought not to get upset at me. You ought to get upset at the preacher out there that's not preaching the gospel of Christ. He says, that's you ought to get upset at. He says, why, Galatians, do you get upset at me when I'm trying to tell you the truth, when I'm trying to keep people from going to hell, when I'm trying to salvage people's lives from hardship and sin? Why get upset at me when all I do is just simply tell you the truth? Likewise, every Christian ought to identify who our true enemy is. Listen. The preachers that preach the Word of God are not your enemy. Listen to me carefully now. The staff members that try to teach you the right way are not your enemy. Brother Scott is not your enemy. Brother Hooker is not your enemy. You say that he's in the discipline committee. I don't like him. Brother Highfield is not your enemy. Brother Sparks is. No. You see, we get it mixed up in our society. We think those who are trying to tell us truth, those who are trying to guide us down the right way, are the enemy. That's not the enemy. What you ought to get upset at is those who are trying to lead you the wrong way. Let me illustrate. The enemy is not the preacher that preaches that the King James Bible is the Word of God. The enemy is the one who tries to take away from this book right here. That's the true enemy. Listen, we get all upset about men who preach from the King James Bible. Well, they just don't have my style. I got news for you. They don't have to have my style. Preach that book right there. You're my friend. There's a lot of men out there that don't believe exactly like Alan Tom. They don't quite have my style. Truth is, I probably wouldn't go to their church, but they're not my enemy. because they preach the truth of this book right here. And too many times we get wrapped up. Listen, what you ought to fight is the bias, that crowd out there that tries to change this book right here. Hey, that's the crowd you ought to fight. You ought to fight the programs that say, well, we're just trying to identify with all the groups of Christianity. Well, instead of trying to identify with all groups of Christianity, why don't you identify with the King James Bible? That's what you ought to identify with. You say, well, we can change the verses ourselves. I'm not going to buy something from someone else who don't believe this book. I get tired of these children's programs. That you call them up and you say, I'd like to order your program. They say, well, what version do you use? Well, there's only one version, is God's version. Everything else is called a perversion. See, some of you sit here at Howells Anderson College, you hear us preach on the King James Bible. Why is it so important? To tell you why it's important. If one word is wrong in here, then man has to decide which one's right, which one's wrong, and we're not capable of that because we're human. You change one word inside this book right here, how do we know salvation's true then? How do we know there's really a heaven? How do we know there's really a hell? How do we know what sin is sin? Listen to me. The true enemy is not the preacher that preaches this book right here. The true enemy is the one that says, hey, that this book, we just have to understand. It's just a good story. It's good truths, but you have to decide which one is true and which one is not. The enemy is not the preacher that preaches on hell. The enemy is the one who never preaches on hell. You listen to me, preacher boys. You get out there in your church someday, don't you despair about preaching on hell. It's in the Bible. America has gotten away from preaching on hell. I mean that. You say, well, it's not politically correct. It's never been politically correct to tell somebody they're going to die and burn in hell forever if they don't get saved. We got news for you. That don't change there's a real hell. That don't change there's a real fire. That don't change that people are burning in hell right now. Hey, I'm simply saying the one you got to get mad at is those who never preach on a real hell. It's not the soul that goes out and knocks on doors and tells people you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. That's not the true enemy. The true enemy is the one who sits there and says, well, I don't want to offend somebody, so I'm just not going to tell him. The enemy is not the one that says Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the one who says there's more than one way to heaven. We're just all going about it different ways. That's the true enemy. Why should I fight another fundamental brother who doesn't quite do everything like I do it, doesn't have my philosophies, but he still believes that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? There's a real hell. There's a real heaven. You don't accept Christ, you're going to die and burn in hell. Why fight him? Hey, won't you fight all of those out there, the sin and the devil, who says that Jesus Christ is not the way to heaven? Some of you ought to enjoy this because where we're going is not going to like it too much yet. This is the easy part. The enemy is not the one that says that baptism doesn't save you. That's not the enemy. The enemy is not the one that says that good works doesn't save you. The enemy is not the one that says that the ordinances of the church don't save you. The enemy is not the one that says that, Jesus was a good prophet, but Muhammad's the one who gets you to heaven. Hogwash on that. Hey, Jesus is the one who gets you to heaven. The enemy is not the one that preaches in confrontational soul winning. The enemy is the one who tells you just live your life and they'll come to you. I was sitting on an airplane yesterday, coming back from Missouri. I have my suit and tie on, like I always travel. Next to me was, just right on the other side of the aisle, was a man, had blue jeans on, sweater over, wasn't dressed, I mean, you know, of course, this kind of weather is kind of hard to be dressed indecent, but unless you're weird, but I was sitting there, and I pulled my Bible out, as my custom is. I started reading my Bible, the voice from the other side says, is that a Bible you're reading? I go, yes, sir. He says, what are you? So I'm a Christian. He says, no, He says, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. I'm an independent Baptist preacher. He says, well, I pastor a church too. I said, what church? He told me the name of his church. It was not Baptist, of course. He says, yeah. He says, I was reading this book right here. He says, we just, he's asking about putting a drama together on this book. I said, yep. So I've been reading this book, and I've been thinking about putting a sermon together about this book. Aren't you afraid what he's going to think? He didn't talk to me the rest of the time. I got my work done. You see, I just believe confrontational soul winning is the way to go. Now, I'm not saying offensive soul winning. I say confrontational. I mean, you walk away from someone's door and say, well, why don't you just die and go to hell? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going door to door, knocking on doors, telling someone how to go to heaven. Hey, that's not your enemy. I was out preaching out in California years ago. A man came, I was preaching in this church. He said, Brother Dom, he said, I started reading a new book. I said, he showed it to me. He says, you know, this confrontational soul winning stuff. He says, I'm not sure that's really the route to go. I said, is that so? I said, what are you going to do with the whole New Testament? What you going to do with the life of Christ? He said, but they got some good things in here. I said, why don't you throw the trash away? Get back to that book right there. Realize, hey, that's how people get saved. Somebody's got to tell them how to go to heaven. Why are we your enemy here at Howells Anderson College? Because we require you to tell someone how to go to heaven. Go figure. Well, I just don't believe in that. In that, what's it called? The weekly thing we do, the activity report. Thank you. I had a little. He gave me too much drugs before services, but yeah. I just don't like those activity reports. I mean, I'm a grown person. Yeah, you ought to thank God there's a place that believes in confrontational soul winning that tries to get you to go out there and follow the commands of God. Hey, this is not your enemy. The enemy is those who never check up on you. The enemy is not the one who wants you to say amen in church. I've been dying on this one for a long time. The enemy is the one who just allows preaching to be dead. Let me stop and park. I have a little bit extra time today. That's good. I get a little concerned about some of you guys who come to Howells Anderson College and never one time say amen in chapel service. Some of you guys, you said it, by the way, some of you men used to say amen until you started dating and she's already plucked every hair off your chest. Bless God, why don't you be a man and say amen? You start sitting by some girl and you think you got to be refined. Bless God, my wife knows I want to say amen. If it's good, I want to say amen. And some of you ought to say amen once in a while. Some of you sit in the back row of college because you always fight for the back seat. You fight for the balcony up there. Never say amen. Why don't you get excited every once in a while? It's a Baptist college. Bless God, we ought to have more excitement here than any ball game, than any charismatic church that we have. The truth right here, that's what we ought to get excited about. See, your problem is you're trying to, well, I want to be like that church out there that's big, that's dead. Bless God, I want people to know Christianity. Hey, it's a fun thing to do. Oh, I wish I could get some of you kicking and see, get some life inside of you. I'd hate to think a lady could say amen louder than I could. The enemy is not the one that tries to get you to say amen to enjoy church. The enemy is not the one that preaches on tithing. We'll start siphoning this out real quick. The enemy is the one who says, well, I'm not going to offend them because this is not, it's not popular to preach on tithing. Thank God for Brother Scott, who's not afraid to tell us that we ought to give. The one you ought to get upset at is the one who'll never tell you how you can be blessed in life. That's the one you ought to get upset at. Thank God we got a preacher that loves us enough, says, I don't want the curse of God on your life, so you ought to tithe. It's tight right now. Tithe anyway.
I can't afford a tithe. I've never understood that. Because the first thing you ought to pay is your tithe. You might not be able to afford a hamburger. You might not be able to afford a car payment. You might not be able to afford a house payment, but you can always afford a tithe. This is good preaching. This is amazing. You can say amen. That last point, we're quieting down right now. And then some of you wonder, how come you're always financially withdrawing? I'll tell you exactly why. Because why don't you start tithing every once in a while? You might be surprised how God can bless you. Some of you make more money than most of these staff do here, and you can never pay your bills yet there to support a family, and you wonder, how come I'm always financially withdrawn? Because you're throwing your money in a hole because you don't tithe. Let's move on. The enemy is not the one that believes in old-fashioned preaching. The enemy is the one that tries to entertain instead of change. I tell the guys I'm preaching too. I said, guys, so I'm not worried about you not preaching something from the Bible. I said, it's about time you get some life inside of you. Get some fire. You know, it's amazing, Brother Hooker. You've taught it for years, but it's amazing how you don't have to. You can't change the fire inside of you. Jeremiah said, I have a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. Bless God, if you're going to be a red-blooded preacher, then get some fire inside of your bones. Stand up, let her rip, and say, well, I don't care what anyone says. Hey, that's what we need again. It's old-fashioned preaching. I'd like to get some of you guys, shake you up, get some fire inside of you, and say, hey, get some excitement while you preach. You say, I'm afraid that, boy, I might offend somebody. Listen, if I haven't offended somebody in about three sermons, I'm wondering if I've even preached. Truth always offends. I'm talking about preaching that's hot. Preaching that makes people uncomfortable. Preaching that goes that's just loud enough to get past that comfort zone that makes you squirm a little bit. Preaching that names sin and call it what it is. It's easy to say, let's not sin now. That's easy. Anybody can do that. My wife can do that. But it takes a red-blooded man that has the power of God upon his life to say, hey, homosexuality is still sin. Backslidden heart is still sin. Gossip is still sin. Lying is still sin. Not tithing is still sin. Not going to church is still sin. Somebody ought to stand up and name what sin really is. Preaching is not trying to humor or entertain, but preaching is trying to change. I'm not against humor inside of sermons. I'm just against about worrying about being more funny than what we are about getting the Word of God across. I'm not against having stories inside the sermon, but I'm against trying to get the top story so we say everybody remembers our story better than someone else. What you ought to try to get to remember is the truth you're trying to preach, and that's what you ought to try to get them to remember. You say, how do you preach to teenagers when you go across the country with what I'm doing right now? And it's amazing how they like me. You know why? Because people like something real. The enemy is the one, is not the one that fights to stay a Baptist. Let me say that again. I said, the enemy is not the one that fights to stay a Baptist. The enemy is the one who compromises and takes Baptists off their church name because that's just not popular anymore. Listen to me. I don't care how many people you can reach by taking Baptists off that name. If you're a Baptist, be a Baptist. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, it's never right to do wrong. To do right. But we can reach a whole lot more people by taking Baptists off the name. Leave Baptists on. Let God worry about reaching the rest of the people. Think of John Bunyan. He was arrested because he wouldn't identify with the Church of England. He wouldn't be a part of it. They brought him to court. He knew he was facing jail term. He had a blind daughter and family. He was not doing well financially. He was struggling just to make it. He needed to stay out of jail so his family could even eat. The judge read the crimes and said, "Is this what you're accused of?" He says, "Yes, Your Honor, it is." The judge says, "Well," he says, "I understand you have a blind daughter. And your family, if I send you to jail, you're going to have a hard time making it." He said, I tell you what. He said, I'm out of the kindness of my heart, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll allow you, Mr. Bunyan, if you'll just come back to our religion. You preach our doctrine. He says, I won't throw you in jail. We'll just consider it like it never happened. He says, dismissed. Mr. Bunyan said, no, we're not dismissed, sir. He says, sir, I can't go back. He says, no one gives me the right to preach this book other than Jesus Christ. The judge, a little perturbed, looked back at John Bunyan and said, but he says, do you understand you can go to jail? He says, jail's not the issue. The issue is right. He said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll give you another option. He says, we made it possible that you can still preach, but you're going to have a license from the Church of England. He said, let me explain something to you, sir. He says, Church of England can't give me a license, because if the Church of England can give me a license, I can take it away. He says, God's the one who's given me the license to preach. And he says, I'm going to trust the God. The judge said, but you'll have to go to jail. He said, I have to go to jail, that's fine. But he says, I cannot change what this book says. He says, the Bible is more of an authority. He says, I'm not trying to disrespect you, but he says, it's more of an authority than where you sit. Judge, being upset. So, well, he says, you maybe make a choice. He said, Mr. Bunyan, I'm sentencing you to jail. He says, I guess this will be the end of this story. We'll never hear the name John Bunyan again. We hear John Bunyan's name, but what's the judge's name? Because John Bunyan believed in right. You listen to me. Some of you guys get out there, you're going to get out there, and it's going to be so easy to take the name Baptist off your church name. You listen to me. He said it's not popular in our era. It's never been popular to be called a Baptist, but people have been burning at a stake, they've been boiled in hot water and oil, and we want to compromise and say, well, it's not that important. It is important. The enemy is not the preacher. That preaches separation. The enemy is the one that will let you run with anyone. The enemy is not the preacher that tells you, young men, don't you be flirting with the unsaved girls. We're not your enemy when we tell you not to do that. We're not your enemy when we tell you don't go in business with someone who's unsaved. We're not your enemy. The enemy is the one that says, oh, go ahead and do it. God understands. No, sir, God doesn't understand. The enemy is not the one that preaches on decency. The enemy is the one that allows you to live your life whatever way you want to live it. When a preacher gets up and says dating couples is called a 6-inch rule, we're not your enemy because we preach that. It worries me when I walk through our, whatever you call that part over here. I see some of you couples, I have to take a double look just to make sure you're 6 inches apart. There's plenty of seat to scoot apart a little bit, but you gotta get right up to the line. Hey, why don't you just decide to stay as far away from something that can hurt you? The enemy is not the preacher that tells you ladies to dress right. To keep the tight skirts off and the tight dresses off. To keep the slits out of your dresses. I know you didn't like it when Brother Scott did, but I think it's a good rule. If you're not for sale, don't advertise. Some of you ladies, you get that. You go right to the border of what the rule says. And you better not bend your knee, because you'll be breaking the rule if you bend your knee. Well, this is good preaching. Say amen. I'll say amen every once in a while. I'm not your enemy when I'm trying to keep you decent and stop trying to get some lustful man to look at you with wicked thoughts. I'm not your enemy when I'm trying to protect you this way. There's enough perverts out there that they look through your dress and they have wicked thoughts because you dress yourself so it points attention to your body. Bless God, hey, why don't you point attention to your face? The enemy is not the one, men, that tries to get you dressed like a man, not like Abercrombie and Fitch. Why any man want to walk into a queer store is beyond my imagination. I mean that. You say, Brother Donald, what ticked you off? What ticks me off is a bunch of our people trying to identify with the world. Bless God, I'm a Christian. You ought to look like a Christian. Walking inside some store that has men nude and hugging each other. Bless God, stop trying to buy queer clothing. You guys are frowning. You're concerning me a little bit. I'm not your enemy because I'm trying to get you to identify with Christ and how He tells us to dress. Why am I your enemy? Why is Brother Scott your enemy when we try to tell you dating couples never be alone, always have a chaperone with you? Why are we your enemy when we're trying to save you from heartache? Sit in the room with this man for about 1 week. As he has to call mamas and dads, so we had to kick your children out. And they say, why? And he has to tell them. And hear their broken hearts on the other side of that phone. And you wouldn't think that we're your enemy when we're trying to save you from that heartache. And you wouldn't think we're your enemy when you realize that most people that have premarital sex end up in divorce. Why are we your enemy when we're trying to keep you some pure and clean? Listen, when you kiss that person on the platform, you ought to say she's the best kisser in all the world. Why? Because she has to be the only one you've ever kissed. You ought not to know how every girl kisses, guys. Save it for one person. The enemy's not the one that preaches against the wrong music. The enemy's the one that allows you to listen to any type of music that'll destroy your spirit, your obedient spirit. So if my music standards aren't high with Anderson's music standards, why don't you make your music standards our standards? What would be wrong with that? Hey, listen to me. I grew up, we listened to Southern Gospel when I grew up. But the Southern Gospel was a whole lot different than what it is today. What we consider Southern Gospel back then, I guarantee it, you wouldn't consider it Southern Gospel now. Why you'd want to watch, I think Guy Penrod, I think it's his name, long hair. Looks like some hippie. Why you want to listen to something like that? You say, well, it turns me on. Get right with God. Let that book turn you on. I wouldn't give you a dime for the Southern gospel music of our day. This is good. Some of you need to go to your cars and clean out your music. You get upset at us because we enforce the rules around here. Don't get upset at us. See, some of you are upset with me right now. And you're proving my point because that's what wrong music will do to you. Some of you got your nose all bent out of shape right now because I'm mentioning your group. I'm mentioning your style of music. Bless God. Hey, don't you understand? You're proving my point right now. Why don't you ask the Southern Gospel groups to come sing in a church depending on a love offering? Try that sometimes. See if you can get them to come. Yeah, leave the drums home, yeah. I know right now, some of you, you used to like me, but I've been marked off your list. That's okay. For 14 years, I've never told anybody, you have to pay me a fee to come preach for you. So I let God take care of me. It's amazing how they charge thousands of dollars just to show up. Then they charge ticket fees to come. Where is that spiritual? Where are they on Sunday morning? When's the last time they ran a bus route? I'm not talking about their bus, their big Prevost buses they drive. I'm saying, when's the last time they ran a bus route, went downtown to some big city somewhere, picked up some kids and brought them to church, somehow they go to heaven. When's the last time they did that? The enemy is not the teacher that demands you to listen in class. The enemy is the one that tries to turn your attention away from learning something that's going to help you later on in life. It amazes me how college students act like junior hires. It amazes me. Brother Wolf, you know, you made fun of junior hires when you were in high school. You come to college, you're acting like a junior hire again because you cut around in the class and don't listen to attention and get everybody else. You write your notes and you make your little jokes and you won't you listen to somebody who's trying to get, who's sacrificing to even give you what you have. If you want to joke around, go to state college, but bless God, how's this in college? We're about turning people out for Christ. That's what we're here for. I want you to stay. Maybe you can stay long enough. Maybe the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the teachers will grab your heart. I want you to say, but hey, stop. Why get mad at these teachers that are sacrificing when they say, listen up and don't go to sleep? You say, it's easy for them to say because they don't have to work all night. You don't know the schedule some of these teachers have to keep. Hit one more. The enemy is not the parent or the institution that enforces rules. The enemy is the one that doesn't warn you of the consequences of breaking rules. Why am I your enemy? Because I give you demerits. You're against me. No, I'm not against you. I'm trying to warn you of consequences of breaking rules down the road. Reason why jails are filled. I was talking to one of my classes today about this whole thing. Reason why jails are filled because people never chasing their children. And they never learn the value of pain when you do wrong. We become our own judge and jury, and our laws that we break are not bad. If you break it, oh, you ought to go to jail. Got news for you. There's always a wage when you sin. Why do we become your enemy when we enforce the rules that you even signed you'd keep? Imagine if everybody just decided If every staff member said, well, you know, we don't agree, we don't like that rule, so we're not going to do that. If every staff member did that, this place would not be Hiles Henderson College. Now, the best way to fight these things is to do the opposite of what you ought not to do. The best way to fight dead preaching is being a red-hot, hellfire, brimstone preacher. Best way to fight indecency is be decent. Best way to fight the wrong music is listen to right music. Best way to fight against those who try to change this book is you keep this book and read it and study it and make it your book. I was flying to England back in October 31st, Halloween night. It was during the time of the big fires out in California. I was reading a story on my way to England from USA Today. One of the deadliest fires was in a little cul-de-sac. A man said, I'm not quite sure the number, I can't quite remember the numbers, but I think he said when he went to bed at nighttime, the fire was about 15 to 20 miles away. He said, I didn't think I had anything to worry about. He said, I woke up in the middle of the night, my dog was barking. He said, I woke up to tell my dog to be quiet. He said, I looked out the window. He said, I saw the fires just right up almost in my backyard. He said, I quickly got my clothes on. I started running through the cul-de-sac, banging on the door, telling him, got to get up, the fire's here, the fire's here. Trying to tell people to get out. He said, I went through every door on our cul-de-sac. He said, by the time I was done, knocked on the door, he said, I jumped in my car. He said, there's a 70-year-old woman that really didn't want to leave. He said, I begged her and I pleaded with her. He said, I just carried her out to my car. He said, by the time I got in my car, the flames had already crossed the road for the only way out. He said, I gunned my car hoping just to get through the fire. Should have made it through. But many people died inside that flame because they were trying to gather too many belongings to bring with them. So exactly what the paper said. I wonder if those who lived hated that guy woke them up in the middle of the night. I wonder if those who are dead in someone probably burning in hell, I wonder if they wish and listen and say, man, I thought it was enough, but I thought I had more time. Some of you get all upset at us. Because we tell you the truth. And all we are, we're just like that man banging on that door. Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Get out! Huh. You're doing it again. Oh, there's Domley again, ranting and raving. Oh, there's Scop again. Oh, look at him. Here he goes again. Ah, look, here goes Hooker again. He's always on his hobby horse. No. Why are we your enemy? When we tell the truth, what you ought to do is identify who the true enemy is. And the true enemy is the one who could care less what you do. And even if you do right, that's the one you got to get upset at.